The U.S. Supreme Court today struck down North Carolina's 1st and 12th congressional district lines as drawn by state legislators in 2011. A three-judge federal court ruling had previously found that lawmakers relied too heavily on race when drawing the boundaries. Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan wrote that the state did not offer compelling justifications for its reliance on race in either district. I spoke with Professor Guy Charles about the significance of this ruling. He's the founding director of the Duke University Law School Center on Law, Race, and Politics.
What the state of North Carolina did is that it drew these two districts and it made the population, the black population in those districts, over 50%. And the court said you didn't have a good reason for doing that. You didn't have a good reason for taking race into account in the manner in which you did. Therefore, it's unconstitutional.
In a dissenting opinion in today's ruling, regarding the 12th district portion of the case, Justice Samuel Alito wrote that the evidence shows that political factors and not race provided the primary motive for legislators in that 2011 redistricting. Do you think he has a foundation for that opinion?
Yes. So this is a very tough area because, first of all, because there is a relationship between race and politics. So for the most part, especially in the South, most people of color, not all, but most people of color are Democrats. And most whites, obviously not all, are Republicans. So if you're trying to do a political gerrymander, for the most part, you're going to place not just Democrats or Republicans in different districts, but also blacks and whites in different districts. And so the question is whether the gerrymander is being done for racial purposes or for political purposes. And now the proof becomes extremely important. The district court found that the reason for the gerrymandering was racial and not partisan. And then the Supreme Court, the majority on the court, simply said, we're going to defer to that decision per our rules. And Justice Alito said, well, there's other good evidence in the record that it was partisanship and not race. And of course, the problem becomes that we would have to overturn the lower court's decision on the factual finding, which reviewing courts often are loath to do unless there's very clear error.
And that scenario seems to maybe play into a statement that North Carolina's Republican Party Chairman Robin Hayes issued today after the ruling. He said, the courts have put legislatures in an impossible situation with their constantly changing standards on redistricting and gerrymandering. Is that a fair criticism?
It is not an unfair criticism. Legislatures may have had reason to believe prior to this case that if they redistricted and were doing so for partisan reasons, then their redistricting will not receive much court scrutiny. The problem, though, is that this is a risk that legislators take, that because race and party are so tightly intertwined, if you're going to redistrict for partisan reasons, you need to be very sure that the evidence supports that, that you're only looking at political data, that there's no mention of race. Because once race is brought to bear, then a lower court might find that it was race and not party. So this case gives better guidance to state legislatures, but it is still an area that the court will have to work out over the next couple years as to how cleanly the evidence has to support one side or the other. So it's not an unfair statement. This is still a murky area, though this case provides a little bit more guidance.
What would you say is the immediate or short-term impact of this ruling and any potential longer-term consequences?
The short-term impact is that you are likely to see state legislatures be extremely careful in using race and redistricting because uses of race are likely to be struck down by a federal court. The longer-term impact is that this will also have an effect on voting rights plaintiffs, especially voting rights plaintiffs of color, because often the voting rights bar are looking, they want the state to use race to enhance the political power of communities of color. So it's not just Republican legislatures that are going to have to think about this. It's also going to be the voting rights bar, because now the use of race is circumscribed, is constrained by the Supreme Court. And so if you'd like to use race to enhance the political power of voters of color, that is also now restricted. And so those issues are going to need to be sorted out as well.
Professor Guy Charles, founding director of the Duke University Law School Center on Law, Race, and Politics, thanks for talking with us today.
My pleasure.